I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Mental Health Monday is an informational podcast and should not be used to replace the specialized training and professional judgment of a healthcare or mental health care professional. Mental Health Monday can't be held responsible for the use of the information provided. Please always consult a trained mental health professional before making any decision regarding treatment of yourself or others. Self-help information and podcasts and information on the internet is useful, but it's not always a substitute for professional assistance. Unless otherwise noted, guests of Mental Health Monday are not doctors or licensed in any way. Our hope is to make a connection with you and be more open and honest about everyone's mental health. Enjoy the podcast.
Mental Health Monday.
Thanks for checking out another Riggs Off the Radio podcast. It's Mental Health Monday. I'm Riggs from Riggs and Alley on 103.7 Kiss FM. If you're not in Wisconsin, that's a morning show in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Check it out sometimes. We're funny. But only sometimes. We've covered a lot of topics ranging from things like anxiety, OCD, PTSD. We've even talked to some doctors. If this is the first Mental Health Monday podcast you're checking out, I would encourage you to go back and check out the other ones. They're really awesome. I've even got some future episodes planned. We're talking about eating disorders and depression with doctors from Rogers Behavioral Health. And of course, people, mostly men, who struggle with mental health every day and are open and honest about their story and their recovery. This week, we're going to talk to another man of Mental Health Monday, our first ever write-in person for Mental Health Monday, somebody that's listened, wanted to share their story. Today, I want to introduce you to my friend Kevin. He's been a follower of the Mental Health Monday podcast, sent me a note, wanted to share his story, because I think in addition to information, Mental Health Mondays can be therapeutic with stories, hearing stories of people, men, mostly, who struggle with mental illness. Hearing positive stories of recovery can help you know that you're not alone. You might hear a story from someone that you can relate to. You're not alone in your mental health struggle. Other people may share the same struggles that you face every single day. So let's get into Kevin's story. Why does he feel he should be featured on Mental Health Monday? Well, Kevin has struggled with anxiety his entire life. He's a young guy. He's in his low 20s. Lost his dad to cancer when he was much younger. Almost lost his mom with cardiomyopathy back in 2008. Struggled with anxiety his whole life. Generalized anxiety disorder. Major depressive disorder. He's even struggled with suicide attempts. But he's very open and honest about his mental health, and it helps him navigate his waters in his everyday life. He did include a quote in his email that he wanted to put in the interview, but we forgot. I told him I'd put it in afterwards. The quote from Tupac Shakur from the song Thug's Mansion. Are you ready for the whitest thing ever, a white guy reading the quote? But it makes sense. I cry at times. I once contemplated suicide and would have tried, but when I held that 9, all I could see was my mama's eyes. The quote will make a lot more sense when you hear Kevin's story for Mental Health Monday. Now, you've struggled with mental illness pretty much your whole life, right?
Exactly my whole life.
You were younger. I mean, you can pinpoint it back to when you said you lost your dad when you were a kid, right?
Yeah, I would say, I wouldn't say that that's the exact cause. I would say that that affects more of my relationship dynamic. It's very hard to trust people. Both friends and just colleagues, anyone. I always have trouble respecting men because I never really had a man to respect in my life.
Right.
I mean, I did. I had uncles.
Sure.
I had a grandpa, but, you know, they weren't around
right.
all the time.
You lost your dad, and then your mom was kind of in and out of relationships.
Yeah, so I lost my dad when I was 4 to esophagus cancer.
Okay.
Which is a very rare cancer.
Yeah.
Usually only comes from asbestos.
Did you work in the trades as well, kind of in that... Back in the day when a lot of asbestos was everywhere?
He was a CFO for a mental hospital.
Really?
Actually, the largest mental chain in the United States.
Which is what? Do you know?
Charter Mental.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he was actually the CFO.
So you've had family ties to mental health.
Yeah,
mental health.
Ironic.
Yeah, very.
Actually, family history on dad's side,
yeah.
Mental health-wise, not looking great. I've got at least 2 uncles and cousins that have ADHD. We've got depression. Alcoholism runs in the family. Multiple.
Yeah.
I can name 2 cousins and uncles, both cousins and uncles, that have alcoholism, have been to rehab.
Right.
Don't drink anymore. I have an aunt that doesn't drink anymore. And I'd say you know, mental health wise, I was not dealt a good deck.
Weren't given a good hand at any as a kid. No,
because you said you've been diagnosed with general anxiety disorder. Is what you said?
Yeah,
I'm just going off your email, which you sent me. Sent me a great bio. Everything Kevin sent me an interesting bio of himself, and I was like, this is perfect. We're just going to walk through this, and it's how we do the interview.
Yeah.
So general anxiety disorder.
General anxiety disorder and major
depression.
Depressive disorder.
Depressive disorder.
It's basically clinical depression.
Okay.
Same thing. Interchangeable.
Right.
So, you know, some days I'm great, some days I'm not.
Everybody has their ups and downs. It's when the mental illness takes control of your life is when it becomes a mental illness.
Yeah.
Everybody gets stressed. It's to a point when it affects you physically and it affects your day and it's almost visceral. And it sounds like that's what you get, because you said earlier today even it hits you hard at work.
Truck.
Just worrying about nothing.
Stupid stuff. Like, even as a teen, I remember my friend telling me a story that his dad told him what pot smells like.
Okay.
He was like, you know, it's this piney smell. Like, which, by the way, it's not.
Not that I know what it smells like.
Yeah, I have no idea what the devil's lettuce smells like.
The devil's lettuce.
But I would walk around and I'd be like, is that pot? Am I going to get a contact high? Am I going to become a drug addict? Like, those are such irrational thoughts for a teenager to be having.
Yeah.
And that really messed with me for a long time. At one point, I even kind of abandoned my friends because they showed up at my house baked one time.
And you thought, I'm not going to deal with this. I'm not going to get a drug life.
I actually wanted to be a cop at one time.
Really?
And then I realized I couldn't take someone else's life if I needed to, so...
Yeah.
And I really didn't want to expose myself to that because if you look at statistics, most cops end up killing themselves, unfortunately, or suffering from alcoholism or depression.
Well, I know PTSD is a big thing with anybody in EMT or law enforcement, all that stuff. It's not just military people. Anybody
can
have PTSD.
Anyone. Yeah. You're right.
One thing, you seem to be very open about talking about your mental health. Do you think that kind of helps you going through the day? Because, you know, you have up days and down days, but you're very open about it. You don't seem to push your feelings down and hide things. You seem to be, you wear your heart on your sleeve kind of guy, you know?
I am sometimes. But, you know, everyone suppresses some things.
Sure. Especially men. Men are the worst at it.
We are the worst at being irresponsible and not dealing with our feelings. Yeah.
I'm just
very accurate.
I'm pushing this deep down.
But, you know, eventually... I've just been through so much. Like, my mom had a heart transplant. And
What is it? Cardiomyopathy?
Yeah, so that basically just means you have an enlarged heart and your heart is weak.
I know a 9-year-old girl that had that. Yeah. Her name is Lily. Like, I know a little girl that had the
same
thing.
We actually had to have a pediatrician surgeon.
You did?
Who did my mom's surgery.
Wow.
It was crazy, dude. My mom actually died, technically.
When
the heart landed, her chest cavity was completely empty.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it had lungs in it, but no heart. So she was technically pulseless, except for a machine.
Kept alive by machines.
But she was actually kept alive with another machine before the heart transplant called a ventricular assisting device.
Ventricular assisting device.
So basically, there's a motor around the heart that is constricting it and pushing blood through.
Uh-huh.
She was actually technically pulseless, so like you couldn't put a stethoscope to her and hear her pulse. So that really scared every ER that we went into ever. They were like, she doesn't have a pulse. And I'm like... No, she does have a pulse, and this is how you find it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you have brothers or sisters? You're an only child.
I'm an only child.
Uh-huh.
I was actually born via IVF.
Really?
My parents tried for 6 years to have children, and there were some miscarriages and so on.
Yeah. A lot of couple struggle with that, too.
A lot of struggle.
Yeah.
And finally, they had me. And my mom actually has a pinky ring, and that's called, like, the baby ring. My dad gave it to her before he passed away.
Right.
To symbolize, you know, we finally had a kid together.
Yeah.
And she lost it one time, and I've never heard anyone more hysterical.
She left the pinky ring?
Yeah. I mean, she misplaced it. It was in her car, but she had everyone looking for it.
What would you say to men that have similar issues as you? Guys that deal with anxiety, guys that deal with depression, guys that are hiding it, that don't want to talk about it.
It's hard to admit that you have a problem to your family and to people that you trust. But everyone has that one person that they can trust with just about anything.
Yeah.
And you need to approach that person and just share your feelings. I mean, it's hard to admit to your mom that you want to kill yourself or that you thought about killing yourself. Or that you think you're worthless and that there's not a voice, but
your conscious constantly resorts to the thought that you're worthless and that maybe you should just give up. It's very hard to tell another person.
Yeah.
Well, you think it's
weak.
And
they, well, they think you're weak. You think that they're going to think you're weak.
Yeah,
and that you're.
They think a lot of. I mean, there's a variety of things that they can think of. I mean, you really don't know what to expect. You're basically putting yourself out there.
Which is tough to do in any situation, whether it be at, you know, going in for a job interview, going after a girl, going out there for it's the worst, putting yourself out there, you know?
Yep.
You're doing the same thing. You're sticking yourself out there. You're sticking your neck out. But it's, I bet at the end of the day, it's very cathartic to get that off your chest and have somebody say.
Oh, that is honestly, Riggs, the best feeling. When I told my mom and my aunt that I had suicidal ideology for most of my life.
Suicide ideology. I've heard about this before. Which
is
basically
you mentioned it.
Fantasizing about suicide, but not actually going through with
it. Yes, fantasizing. Different people have different experiences. Like thinking about, you know, if I died, how would I do it? Before my mom got her heart transplant. Actually, the day my mom got her heart transplant, I planned to kill myself. Before
you
I got
thought
that
she
call.
Was because you thought she was going to die?
No. I was just part of that. You know, I thought she was going to die. I've got a shitty job. What am I going to do with myself? This is not where I thought I was living, in Illinois. So that'll depress anyone.
Yeah.
And
fibs. Fibs.
I lived in Chicago, so it was really bad.
If you're not from here, FIB stands for F***ing Illinois Bastards.
Yeah.
F-I-B.
F-I-B. They're almost as bad as people who don't put their license plate stickers in the right place.
Don't get me started. Don't crank my chain on the asshats,
but,
bro.
You know,
don't.
That day, I honestly didn't want to live. It was a dark day for me.
What brought you around back to the light? To know this is not the decision to make, because it's not.
Well, dark day started at, like, you know, 6 a.m. I had to drive downtown, and it was around 8 a.m. that I arrived to where I needed to be, and I distracted myself with work. I thought maybe I'll die on the way home, just crash into the median or the barrier, make it look like an accident, not leave a note. And then I got the call from my mom, who said, Kevin, I just received a phone call from the hospital. It's finally happening. They have a heart for me. It's high risk. And then we talked about some things like, it was very high risk. I don't want to get into the specifics about
the
donor.
No, no.
But it was actually Halloween night. And she told me not to come home right away. And I'm like, Mom, we've been waiting 14 months for this, and you're telling me not to come home?
I'm always astonished.
I instantly called my boss. He's very, very understanding. He told me, whenever this moment happens, man.
Go. It's good.
Don't even think about it.
Good to have support like that.
Sent him a text, and I was like, man, I'm not joking right now. It's finally happening.
Yeah.
My mom has been spared, and she's been given a heart because it was very hard to get her there. She was a smoker and drinker, and you have to be a year sober.
I would imagine.
They're to be on the transplant list? Because they just obviously don't want someone to receive a heart.
And then just trash it.
And then just trash it.
Well,
you know?
With, you know, rightfully
or
so.
Or liver or kidney.
Any
whatever,
of those.
Whatever it may be. So it took a lot. And
did your mom struggle with drinking and alcoholism as well?
She won't admit it, but yes.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely at one point in her life, she was killing like two bottles of wine at night.
Yeah.
And smoke like a chimney sometimes. But, you know, she doesn't smoke a single cigarette now. She hasn't smoked a single cigarette in almost 2 years.
That's amazing.
She doesn't drink a lot anymore.
The heart's still ticking just fine. Everything's working great.
Yeah. She's healthy as clam.
Yeah.
You know, she was itching to get back to work.
Yeah.
She loves her job, and that's what she does.
Do you find it almost serendipitous that the day you were contemplating taking your life, your mom got the call from your mom?
Yeah. I've thought about it really deeply, and it's like,
I mean, I don't want to get into religion or anything, but
it's a
very powerful moment, I would think,
it
for
is,
you.
And I'm not even religious, and I've thought about it like that. I'm like, well, shit, maybe there is a God.
There's something. There's something looking out for you.
That's pretty coincidental.
Yeah.
I mean, when I say I plan to kill myself, I want it like 100%. Like, you know, I was really thinking about worse than I ever have as a teenager. I mean, sure, I've attempted suicide before. And thank God the doorknob didn't hold.
Yeah.
But this was a different day. This was definite, like, I was going to make it happen.
Yeah.
Because I just wasn't feeling it. And to describe that feeling, I was just like, I just literally felt numb.
Yeah.
But now that I've, you know, found help, got some medication, some antidepressants, honestly changed me a lot. Like, I didn't expect it to affect me at all. I was like, I've taken so much medication before. I mean, I've prescribed almost everything in the book for ADHD, so...
I wanted to circle back to a point in your email. You talked about how you've had several concussions.
So when I suffered a concussion, I went to a specialty clinic.
You suffered a concussion how? Would you play football?
Oh, yeah, so I actually suffered three concussions.
Gee, many Christmas. Three?
Playing three, what? All football? From sports.
What kind
two,
of sports?
Two from lacrosse.
Okay.
One from football. And I played soccer all my life.
Yeah.
And I was goalie, so I definitely got hit in the head a lot.
Yeah.
My doctor predicted at least five plus, maybe six.
I have, concussions?
Yeah. That's his prediction. And he's actually, you know, one of the few 200 physicians in the nation that specialize in concussions and sports medicine. And he estimated around six. I had a brain scan done. The first time it's called an, what's called an artifact that shows up on someone's MRI, CT scan. It's a weird anomaly, and they don't understand it. A lot of the times, a cancer patient will be told that the first time, so I freaked out because they wanted to do a second scan. And it turns out I have two lesions in my front temporal lobe, like right around here and here.
From sports?
Most likely, because...
Unless your mom dropped you when you were a kid?
Yeah, unless my mom dropped me when I was a kid or did hard drugs when I was a baby, but she did none of those, so...
Right.
You know, it couldn't be anything. So I've joined the Concussion Legacy Foundation. Basically, it's a nonprofit that studies brains. Have you ever heard of CTE?
Cerebral...
Honestly, I couldn't tell you what.
I don't know.
CTE actually stands for Chronic Traumatic Encephalopathy.
Concussion.
Yeah, concussion and NFL highlights, NHL too.
Yeah.
And a lot of, you know, professional athletes have killed themselves, and then when an autopsy is done, it's found that they have CTE. So there's one fact in every NFL game, or every football game, that includes Pee-wee, there's at least one concussion that's suffered every game.
Oh, yeah. And you don't have to be a quarterback. It doesn't matter your position.
Yeah, you could be the defensive end.
Yeah.
You don't even have to have technically head-to-head contact.
No.
My concussion in lacrosse had really the serious one. I had to have 6 weeks.
Yours was head-to-head, boom?
No, actually... I was at the midfield line. Basically, the ball is rolling towards us, and we can't cross that line.
Yeah.
So I've got my stick over someone else's stick, and, well, turns out my teammate went to hit someone else, and he kind of juked him, and my teammate ended up hitting me.
Oof.
Not even full body contact, but I didn't expect to be hit. I mean, I'm defense. I don't get hit. You can't hit me.
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't happen.
Came out of nowhere.
Yeah. And basically, I went fully... horizontal with the ground and landed head first.
Wow.
And then I popped right back up. And I remember looking at the sidelines. Everyone's like, get down.
Because
they
down.
can't call like an official timeout unless I'm lying down and injured. And I'm confused. That's what happens.
Is that what it feels like when you get a concussion? You're just dizzy, you see stars?
Yeah, you see stars. I faded in and out of consciousness.
Wow.
Thank God that I had a coach who was also a firefighter and a coach that was a medical student. So I was in great hands. I never used to remember the months as a kid. I would always mix up April, March, May, and June.
What?
But for some reason, I got it spot on in backwards order while I was concussed.
With December to January?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was hard,
can you
but I did it.
Can you still do it now to this day?
Oh, no. Seriously, I still have to check the numbers, man. It's bad.
You got an interesting story, man.
Thanks.
That's a very cool story, and I thank you for sharing it today.
No problem.
Because who knows? Somebody might relate to it, and that's all I want to do with this podcast is talk to dudes,
exactly.
Talk to men, because men are shitty at talking about their feelings.
No, they really are.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's hard, but you need to find someone that you can confide in, and once you find that person, the right person, thank God I've got several, and you can talk to them about your problems.
Yeah. Talk to them. Then eventually talk to a doctor. Get some help if you need to.
Exactly.
There's resources online, too, that are not bad. It's not tainted advice in the mental health industry. It's very straightforward, I think.
It is.
I think you can pretty much Google depression, and you'd be, for the most part, you'd be safe. I mean, I would recommend, like, you know, the .govs and the .edu's. I'd look for those,
The obvious smart sources.
Right. Kevin, thanks for reaching out.
No, thank you, man, for doing this.
Hopefully this was therapeutic for you, too.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I mean, you know, I've told it. I mean, you're not like the first or maybe the fifth person I've told, but, you know,
I've talked about it. I've been pretty open to a lot of people about it. So it's like you've just witnessed, I've it's pretty easy for me to talk about it.
Yeah.
I don't really mind sharing it. I don't feel that you're going to judge me. I don't feel like anyone should feel like that, because it doesn't make you weak to talk about your feelings. And that's the problem. As a man, we think that we have to be strong. And
I think it's actually stronger to reach out for help. I think it's stronger to talk about how you're feeling.
You are a stronger human being to be able to talk about your feelings to a stranger, especially a doctor.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Nice.
They ask some pretty weird questions.
Yeah, they do. Well, they're just troubleshooting your brain. That's all they're doing.
That's
nice.
True.
Well, thanks again.
No problem, man.
It's hard to tell your story sometimes. You could tell it was hard for Kevin to tell his story a little bit. But once you get it out there, it feels so much better. Kind of like the first time you change the oil on your car. You don't think you can do it because somebody else has been doing it your whole life. But once you do it yourself and you realize how freaking easy it is, so much better. I don't know, did I just compare mental health to changing the oil on your car? Maybe I did a little bit. Because sometimes it's good to change the oil in the old brain, clean it out. Right? In the coming weeks, Mental Health Monday, we'll be talking to a couple more of our doctor friends from Rogers Behavioral Health about eating disorders and depression. That's the big one. Everybody wants to talk about depression. Actually, everybody doesn't want to talk about depression. That's the problem. And that's why we're going to talk about depression. Being that we did talk about suicide in this episode, if you are struggling with thoughts of suicide, you need someone to talk to, and you don't feel like you can talk to anyone in your inner circle, you can always call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. It's 1-800-273-8255. If you're more comfortable sending a text, you can text the word hello to 741-741 for the crisis text line. There's always somebody listening. You don't have to suffer alone, man. For Riggs off the radio, this has been another Mental Health Monday. Enjoy the rest of your day, morning, night, evening, whatever you're doing. Make good life decisions.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.